Hi, my name is Simon Carley. I'm Professor of Emergency Medicine in Manchester. And what we're going to be talking about in the next 5 minutes is a blog post that we put on the St. Emlyn's blog about giving feedback. And it was just something I put up because I've been worried in the past about how we get the message across in feedback in the right way, in a way which obviously matters because we've got to give feedback. Feedback is good for learning. But also in a way which doesn't actually devastate the doctor so that their practice changes, you know, completely and in the wrong way. And so I'm joined by Natalie May, who is one of our trainees, who's an expert in feedback and does a lot of leadership and management type stuff. Is that right, Natalie?
I've been a trainer for the International Federation of Medical Student Associations and for Medicine UK, which is a student charity in the UK, back when I was a student and since then. And I've continued to give training workshops to train new trainers within those organisations. And some of the things we talk about are how to give feedback and to resolve conflict within groups situations.
Excellent. And I think you're a good example of why seniority is not always the best way of describing somebody's talents, because I come to you for quite a lot of other things in the past about leadership and management, and you are one of my resources for this, so it's good.
Oh, thank you.
You say thank you. It's great. So you read the blog and you had a couple of thoughts for me, because I was trying to say I want people to feel bad. I don't want to feel bad. I want them to feel as if it matters.
And I think that's really important. And I think a lot of the situations that we have to give feedback in medicine tend to be around conflict resolution, and if you view them from the patient perspective, there's usually been a conflict in care, and it's usually because they haven't received the care that we think they should have received. So one of the things that I noticed that you didn't mention is something that we talk about a lot in my training sessions, which is about preparing to give feedback and asking some important questions before you start. So first of all, asking if it's appropriate and important that the feedback happens at all. So is this actually an issue for the patient, or is it just that I feel a bit grumpy about this person and I want to give them a bit of a hard time?
I think you're right there, because I mean that's a really important first question. I've seen people, they see something, a missed x-ray or an ECG or something like that, and they go off on one, they just go find the doctor, they have them, you know, bawl them out in the room, and it just goes badly wrong. So your first thing is decide whether it's actually important.
Do I need to do it? Yeah.
Okay, so are there things you just wouldn't bother doing?
I suppose you need to weigh up, I guess, if it's feasible that there might be a situation where you've got a trainee who's had a lot of negative feedback in the past and they've been pulled up on, maybe even recently, on a variety of x-ray misses, mm-hmm. and you've already hammered the point home 2 days ago that they need to be more careful about x-rays, and then an x-ray has been flagged up to you that happened just before you gave that feedback. Do you need to go over and do it all again? Probably not, because you may well have made the point already. And actually, contemporaneous feedback is more useful, I would say. So thinking about whether it's going to add anything to do this now on top of what you've already done, and in that circumstance I'd probably say no, but I guess it depends on the severity of the situation. So it's always worth having a good think about the clinical implications of what you're giving feedback about, and making a judgment call about whether that's something you need to speak to the trainee about in the first place.
Okay, so on this occasion we made a decision we are going to do it. So that was point number one, decide.
Yeah. And then the second thing is it the right time? So exactly as you've said, you pick up your x-ray and you see that there's been a missed fracture and you feel really annoyed because they've just turned up 20 minutes late for the shift and you're pissed off with them already. So that's probably not a good time to do it if they're in recess dealing with a sick patient. So there's a question of, is it the right time? Is it the right place? Are you going to give your negative feedback in the middle of recess in front of all the nursing staff and all the other foundation trainees? No, because that's not really good for anybody. Positive feedback, maybe yes, exactly as you've raised in the blog, but negative feedback adds an embarrassment factor if you do it in public, and I think that can detract from the messages and the learning points that you want to bring out of it. And then the fourth question is, am I in the right place to give this feedback? Am I tired, stressed? Have I just had a patient die? Have I just had an argument with a relative? Am I really cross because my husband has left all the ironing board out this morning and I've just walked in and I'm really cross about that because I've told him to put it away 100 times. That's just my problems. But am I in the right place? Am I the right person? And am I in the right mood to give this feedback without bringing my own agenda in a personal sense to the situation? Can I be objective about it? And so, I think the answer to all those questions is yes, it's necessary, it's the right time, it's the right place, and I'm in the right frame of mind, then it's okay to proceed with giving some feedback.
So do you actually go through that little mental checklist before you do?
Yeah.
And do you ever stop yourself?
Yes, I've had to sort of, I usually get about a sort of, can we just, and then I go, oh no, it's okay, hang on. And it's usually about me. That's the most common thing, is that I'm not in the right place and I need to just go and have 5 minutes and think about what exactly I want to get out of the feedback for myself and for ongoing patient care, rather than, because it shouldn't be about me. Giving the feedback is about the improvement of the trainee, the other person. It's not for my benefit. So if I'm doing it for my benefit, then that's wrong.
Okay, so one of the other things, I think that's really good advice. It's really, really good stuff, and I think I can take some of that away. I think, looking back, I think I've probably given feedback when I've been in a bad mood and it's not gone as well, so I think that's a really fair point. What I was going to ask is, one of the things I talked about in the blog, I'd be interested to know what you felt, was this concept of power distance, about how far you are away from people. So does it make a difference if this is somebody who is your peer, if it's somebody who's maybe one grade below you, a few years in difference, or, you know, that concept where, you know, you get the professor who comes and speaks to the most junior person and gives the feedback there. Is that the best person, the worst person, or you've just got to take a balance?
That's a really interesting point, and I don't think there's a single answer for every situation, unfortunately. It'd be nice if there was. I think it depends, again, on what the situation is, what the trainee's needs are, and I would say it's probably best if it's somebody that they have a rapport with already. What you don't want is if you've got a reputation, or they perceive you as being somebody who just shouts at people all the time, which hopefully isn't the case. But that's not going to be helpful to them. They're just going to perceive this as, oh, I'm going to get in trouble now. I'll just switch off for a while and they'll stop talking eventually. So I think if it's somebody that, as long as you've got a good working relationship, I don't see any reason why that it wouldn't work, irrespective of the power distance. I think we probably feel it more than the receiver of the feedback does. I think it's not a natural thing for us to do. I think we all feel a bit, we like to be nice to people and we don't particularly like to upset people, and we always feel like we've done a terrible thing if people get upset by the feedback. But as you bring out, yes, that might be quite useful.
It's interesting, David Menzies on Twitter said that he felt it might be different for the seniors and the juniors, and the juniors may feel personally embarrassed whereas the seniors feel professionally embarrassed. And I thought it's actually pretty much the same, but maybe just the seniors are less likely to show it.
Yeah, I think there's probably an element of both things, and I think the more senior I get, the more I hope that everybody has an element of professional insecurity that they try to keep hidden. And I think having this kind of feedback does bring that to the fore, but it's still healthy to do that, because we can, if we're not aware of our need to develop and learn new things and to watch out for areas that we maybe not as competent in as that we think we are, then we're not going to do the best for our patients.
Well, I mean, what about sharing this though? Because I mean, we have talked about, there is this element of embarrassment, and I think, you know, we all feel that when we make a mistake. But you know, there is the old Chinese proverb, isn't there? You know, only a fool learns from his own mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. So how do we build a culture that can share learning from error? Because I've made errors. I kind of try and share it. I tell people when I've messed up. But I don't think that's that particularly common.
I think it's something that I've seen a lot of in the St. Emlyn's discussion forums separately, so the MRI's own personal discussion forums and the sharing of cases. And I know that there was a clinical situation that I had when I worked at Oldham that I felt very uncomfortable about afterwards, that I'd had a patient who was extremely unwell, and in conjunction with some other doctors we decided to give thrombolysis, and it really was a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And unfortunately the patient then died after an enormous hemoptysis, and I felt terrible about it. But I then, the following Friday, took it to our registrar's meeting and presented the case and talked through the options, and we came to the conclusion that everybody would have at least considered what I'd done and maybe thought I'd been brave to do it, because maybe they wouldn't have, but everyone was reasonably convinced that the patient would have died if I hadn't. And that, although I'm not convinced whether that was the right decision for that patient or not, and it's difficult, but I think it's a useful skill to be able to stand up and say, I've done this thing and I thought it was the right thing at the time. Now I'm not sure if it's the right thing, but it's part of the reflective learning process, and we need to encourage that because there's good evidence that it will improve you as a rounded person.
And we all need improvement.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that's brilliant. Thanks for that. So just remind people, what are the four things that you want people to do before they dive in and give feedback?
So you need to, first of all, ascertain whether the feedback is necessary at all. and not just for your own good, for the trainee, remember, then you need to ask if it's the right time, the right place, and if you are personally in the right frame of mind to give feedback and not bringing your own agenda to it.
Are we in the right frame of mind?
I think so, today, yes.
Okay, that's cool. Thanks.